But before we get to that next Sunday, how does all of this relate to us today? How does God's answer in chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, down through verse 11, how does that relate to us? Well, let me give you four truths that come out of this passage that relate to us. And the first one is simply God's answer to the prophet. God is there, and he's doing something. Let me address this first in terms of our nation and the world and what we're going through. This pandemic that started now somewhat approximately 10 months ago, 11 months ago, as far as we can track it, at least back into December of last year, did not catch God by surprise. He wasn't unaware of it. He wasn't uninformed. He knew all about it, even before it happened. He knew where it would start. He knew how it would spread. He knew who would get sick. He knew who would die. And he is working somehow, in some way. God is working to bring about his will in this situation. We don't know how. We may never know how. The nice thing about Habakkuk was he got to live to see the Babylonians come. He could look back and say, hey, it happened just like God said it would happen. We may or may not have that. But never doubt that God is working. Do you know how you should pray about this pandemic? Can I tell you how to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you don't know how else to pray, you pray that. You simply say, God, I want your will to be done. Then let me address it on a personal level. What you are going through in your life, what you have gone through in the past in your life, what you may go through in the future in your life, will never catch God by surprise. He was aware of it. He is aware of it. He will be aware of it. He knew what you were going to go through before you ever went through it. And even though you don't understand and you can't explain it and you feel like you are all alone, God is there and he is doing something. You can bank on it. The second truth I want to share with you is that the way God works in this world does not always line up with our expectations. That was true of the prophet Habakkuk. We're going to see this, as I said, more next Sunday. And the title of the sermon will simply be, How Can God Do That? Because that's the question, the second question that the prophet will ask God. God's message to Habakkuk was that he was going to send the wicked Babylonians to punish Judah for their sin, and the prophet's response is going to be, God, how can you do that? And isn't that how we often respond to God? God works in ways that we don't expect. He works in ways that seem all wrong to us. He works in ways that we just can't explain. We can't see the value of what God is doing. There's a familiar passage in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, where God is speaking, and he says, My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's an interesting thing about that passage. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you were to go back and read the first part of chapter 55 of Isaiah, you would find that these words are said in the context of God's mercy and forgiveness. Just before this statement, the prophet Isaiah had told the people to forsake their sinful ways and return to God, who would forgive them because of his great mercy. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, why would God do that? Why would God forgive someone who was sinful and wicked, someone who had offended the basic character of a holy God? We don't do that. If someone impugned your character, they accused you of embezzling money from your employer, they accused you of having a sexual affair, they accused you of lying in order to get a promotion at work, we wouldn't forgive someone like that. They impugned our honesty, our integrity, our basic character. They have slandered us. And we are not going to forgive them even if they apologize. But God isn't like that. God will forgive. God wants to forgive. And that's because, as verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55 said, God is different from us. He works differently in our world. He works differently in our lives. He works in ways that do not line up with our expectations. Don't assume that God is angry with you, or God has rejected you, or God doesn't hear you based upon what's going on in your life. There are perhaps many reasons for how God works beyond what you and I know. That even if you did know the reasons, it would explain to you why God does what he does. And if you knew why God is working in your life the way he is, you would understand it, you would agree with it, you would be satisfied. But we're not satisfied, and we don't agree with God, and we don't because we simply don't understand what God is doing. We can't see the bigger picture. When God works in ways that don't line up with your expectations, listen to me. When God works in ways in your life that do not line up with your expectations, you need to adjust your expectations. You don't need to change God. You need to change your expectations. The third truth that I want to give you from this passage is we may not like the way God works in this world, but ultimately you have to remember that this is his world. And this is where many Christians, and in fact people in general, have an issue with the Bible and the Christian faith. We are not the center of the universe. We're not even the center of this world. We're not even the center of our little part of this world. This is God's world by right of creation, and we don't get to tell God how to operate his world. The classic passage on this is in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9, The context of Romans 9 is salvation and God choosing some people and not choosing other people. And the illustration that Paul uses is Jacob and Esau. And in verse 13 of Romans chapter 9, God says, just as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, a statement like that would immediately cause people to accuse God of being unfair. It's not fair that God chose the younger son through whom he was going to work and through whom the Messiah would eventually come and yet reject Esau. And if you take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 9 for a moment, and you look beginning at verse 19, it says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 19, you will say to me then, why does God find fault? If Esau had no choice in this matter, how could God find fault with anyone? For who has resisted the will of God? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? This is perhaps the most unfavorite passage in the Bible. Let's be honest, we don't like it. But Paul's point is that God, as the Creator God, as the potter, we're the lumps of clay. That's all we are, lumps of clay. He's the potter. And God has the right to do whatever he wants to do, and we, you won't like this, listen, we have no right to question God. None at all. He is the creator. We are the created. The creator always has the right to do what he wants to do with his creation. He has the right to use the ungodly, violent, unscrupulous Babylonians to punish the nation of Judah if that's how he wants to handle the situation. And he has the right to work in our lives in any way he wants. Now, listen, I don't want you to walk out of here all down in the dumps about this. Let me say this. God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet to Judah, and they rejected him. He was merciful, he was kind, he was loving, and he was gracious. God normally works like that. It is when we reject his overtures over and over and over again that God works in a different way, in a hard way, in a difficult way. But when God works in our lives, we may not like it. We don't have to like it. This is his world. He can do whatever he wants to do. And that was a truth that Habakkuk really struggled with, as we'll see next Sunday. It's a truth that we struggle with. Sometimes, even when we have not sinned, God works in our lives in very difficult ways that we can't explain. Just know that he is doing something to accomplish his perfect will. By the end of the book of Habakkuk, and there's a glorious ending to this little book, by the end of the book of Habakkuk, the prophet understands. He comes to terms with God's sovereignty, and I'm hoping by the end of this book, we come to terms with God's sovereignty, that we begin to understand God, and we begin to walk by faith. And really, that's the fourth truth I want to share with you this morning. We can go through difficult times by faith, even if we don't understand, and I put in parentheses there, or agree with, God. We just recently finished studying the first five chapters of the book of Romans, and as we were studying that in chapter 2, do you remember the phrase in chapter 2, which is probably the key to the book of Romans? The just shall live by faith. By the way, do you know where the Apostle Paul got that little saying? From the book of Habakkuk. He was quoting Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to see that. The just shall live by faith. But I sort of want to insert it here because it's the answer that we're looking for. You might go through some very difficult times in your life and you may not understand what God is doing. You may not agree with how God handles your situation. But here is what God wants from us. It's a very simple thing to know. It's a harder thing to do. What God wants from us is to live by faith. He wants us to trust Him no matter what the circumstances are. This morning in our adult Bible fellowship, and what we're doing in our adult Bible fellowship is we're discussing the message from the previous week. So next Sunday in our adult Bible fellowship, we're going to discuss this message. So you can come with your comments, your answers, your agreements, your disagreements, and join us for that discussion. This morning we discussed the message from last Sunday, Habakkuk 1, 1 through 4. And Christian led us in our discussion. And we talked about the fact that God rescues people, and He used the illustration of Peter, and he had a video, a very well done video, about how we need to trust God in the difficult times. When Peter stepped out of the boat on the water, he needed to trust God to keep him afloat. And it's when he took his eyes off of God that he began to sink. And that's all very true. And then my wife asked me after the class, she said, "But what happens when God doesn't rescue someone?" You see, God doesn't always choose to rescue us. And so here's my answer to my wife and to everyone else. You still live by faith. That's the only answer I know. You still live by faith. That's what God wants, no matter what the circumstances are in our lives. We can weather the most difficult times in life, those times when God does not rescue us, those times when God does not answer us, those times when we can't figure out what God is doing, if we simply live by faith. It is a truth that you will have to learn over and over and over again. It's a truth that you'll have to tell yourself every single day of your life because it is not an easy truth to hold on to. But it's a truth that will see you through the most difficult times. You can either struggle against the difficulties of life, or you can go through them by faith. At the beginning of chapter 1, the prophet cried out to God because he saw life as hopeless, and he thought that God was not doing his job right. Someone needed to tell God how to be God. And then God answered the prophet. He said, "I'm going to punish Judah for their wickedness." And the prophet liked that even less. But what Habakkuk missed, and listen, is something we can easily miss, is that God was there, and He was already preparing an answer. And can I tell you, whatever you're going through in life, personally, and what we're going through as a world, as a nation generally, God is there and He's preparing the next thing. He is preparing the next thing that you will need. He is preparing the next thing that we as a nation will need. He's preparing the next thing the world will need. You might be like the prophet today and feel like life is hopeless, but life is never hopeless with God. And when life seems hopeless, remember that God is there. Trust Him. Trust His love for you. Trust His wisdom. Trust His direction. trust that He is working. And when you can't do anything else in life, walk by faith. In essence, that's what God said to Job. When you go back to the book of Job and all of Job's problems and trials, it all comes down to the last, I think, four chapters of Job. And God gives two speeches. After Job and his friends have been talking, God gives two speeches. And he says two things to Job. He says, Job, trust my power. And Job, trust my wisdom. You go back and you read the last four chapters of Job, and you see if the first two chapters are God's first speech, the second two chapters God's second speech, and you see if those speeches aren't summarized in those two statements. Job, trust my power, trust my wisdom. Job didn't know what God was doing. As far as we know, Job never understood why he had lost his family, lost his wealth, lost everything, and all he had left in life was a nagging wife. And all God said to Job was, Job, just trust me. Just trust me, Job. He didn't say that to Job. Now, we know the end of the story, and this is where some people who are going through difficult times say, yeah, but we know Job, God restored Job, and he was richer than ever before and had a bigger family than ever before. That doesn't discount the anxiety and the hurt and the stress and everything else Job went through. When God made those speeches to Job, Job never knew what the end result was going to be. He never knew that God would restore him to wealth. He never knew that God would give him another family. In his despair, in his misery, God said, Job, trust me. And that's where we are left today with our prophet Habakkuk. He doesn't like God's answer. And what he needs to realize is he simply needs to trust God. And you may not like God's answer in whatever you're going through in life. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Some of you have gone through terrible things in life. Some of you will yet go through terrible things in life. Can I just prepare you? Make up your mind right now that when you go through those things, you will trust God no matter what. You will trust God even if you never get an answer. You will trust God even if you never understand. You will trust God if you sink and drown in the ocean. You will trust God. Walk by faith. Let's pray together. Father, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk is such a lesson to us. He struggled, and we struggle. He struggled with you, and we struggle with you. He didn't think you heard him, and sometimes we don't think you hear us. He didn't think you were doing things right in this world, and we confess that sometimes we don't think you do things right in our lives. Sometimes it seems like you're not even there for us. And yet you are there, and you are already preparing the answer for down the road. Lord, give us the ability to walk by faith. Give us the courage to walk by faith. Help us simply to trust you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.